Y'all doing all right? I'm doing all right myself. I called my wife today. Had an emergency. Actually, she called me early this morning, and we've been working on it all day. And looks like we might be getting the victory here. Pretty serious. I need to be there. But I guess I'll stay here and fuss at you a little. I hope it's not too bad fussing here. But it probably will be. Who knows? Feel pretty rowdy. Okay, Brother Jody, can Jody say a few words? Is that all right? My son is the age that I went to Mexico. The age he is right now is the age I was when I got to Mexico. He's been living there his whole life, so he should be ahead of me, shouldn't he? In Jesus' name. Hermano, adelante.
Good evening. Like you said, I've been living down there with him in Mexico. In different countries of the world for almost 20 years now, and it's been a blessing. And I'm blessed to be there, and I plan on staying there until Jesus comes back or until I die or whatever happens first. I just want to be faithful to God.
Come on.
And faithful to His Word, and to get them people saved down there in Mexico. And not just in Mexico, when we're up here, get some people saved everywhere.
Amen.
And I'm not, like he's talking about, I'm not the same as he is. I'm not loud talking. I'm not saying he's a loud mouth. I'm just saying when he speaks, he's a powerful speaker. And I'm not quite like that. When I'm not being spoken to, I don't speak most of the time. But God calls us all to do work. He calls us all to be who we are and to do what he says to do. We can all go out with being who we are and change the world for Jesus.
That's right.
And it's not easy though. It's hard. But with Jesus we can do it. And he asked me if I wanted to speak tonight or tomorrow night. And I said tonight's fine. But I feel like God wants me to tell y'all a couple things. I hope I can.
Go ahead, buddy.
A lot of people think
that
when you go to the mission field, it's all fun. It's all just people getting saved and healed all the time. And it does happen a lot. But I just wanted to tell you that sometimes we go through battles and troubles. And we go through a lot of them. It seems like we go through more wars than we do victories. Because you lose a couple of them every once in a while. But God's the one that gives you grace and mercy to pick yourself up, take off again. And I don't know, even Daddy goes through stuff all the time. But we try not to show it because we don't want the devil to get the victory. We try to just speak truth in Jesus' name that God's going to win, because we know in the end He is going to win. So it doesn't matter what the devil does right now. It don't matter today, it don't matter tomorrow, it just matters what the end result is. The bottom line, the final result, that's what counts. And we know that by the Bible that that's going to be victory.
Amen.
But for me personally, there's times when I do want to quit and come to the house. Well, I don't have a house up here. I got one in Mexico, and that's where I've always lived, so I really don't have anywhere to go. But there's times you just want to quit. You just want to give up. You just don't want to do it no more. You just want to go to the house, sit at the house, but that don't get people saved. I got married 4 years ago, and she's not here right now. My wife's not. She's in Texas working, trying to get us ready to go back into Mexico. And we don't have any children because so far she's had 3 miscarriages. And I'm not saying that so everybody have pity on me or whatever. I'm just telling you that because we go through troubles. We go through hardships just like y'all do. We go through battles, and I still don't have any kids, but I'm still believing God to give us children. But I just have a question for you tonight that, I don't know, it might sound mean or something, but you don't have to answer me because there'd be so many of them. But I want to know what your excuse is for not serving Jesus, for not completing the Word of God. Because just because you go to the mission field don't mean you just all of a sudden get exempted from having trouble. That don't mean you all of a sudden get a lot of money, get, you know, you're healthy all the time. Most of the time it means that you got twice as much battles. Because you're fighting on enemy ground, you're not at your home, you're not where the rest of your family is, where people love you. We live in a town with the only Americans there, and there ain't very many people saved there, and they don't want to see the gospel in there. And that whole area, it's real bad. We live in one of the most critical parts of Mexico. And there's many times where I have to go away for 4 or 5 days and leave my wife there in that town. She's there by herself. Nobody else is there but Jesus. And she's having to deal with all these things. The enemy comes in. We got witch doctors who want to take us out. We got people that want to see us gone. She's got to deal with this thing of, well, maybe I don't have enough faith. That's why I can't have any kids. I have to deal with that out in the villages. But you got to preach the gospel anyway. And I know that it's not a lack of faith, because if it is, then we need to take Genesis out of the Bible, because that means Abraham did too. Because he was 100 years old before he had kids. And then if you read on, Isaac had the same problem. But they got the victory. It was 100 years later, but they got it. And so I wanted just to tell you that and ask you what's your excuse. Because I fight things all the time, personally, things that want to take me away from those people that we serve down there. And there's people down there that want to take me away from that too. There's demons down there that want to take me away. The government wants to kick us out. It don't matter. You just got to keep doing what you can do. Do the Word of God. And he wanted me to share a miracle that happened in the section I'm working in. There's a brother down there, Brother Ed Milo. He lost his wife this year. And he don't have any money, like most of them don't down there. But when we come to service, they want to bless us with the only thing they have, and that's a little bit of food. The only thing they've got is corn and beans and a few chili peppers and a few chickens and pigs, because they got no money. And so I show up one day with a truckload of brothers. They all wanted to go to church. They ride in the back of our pickup trucks in the rain, whatever, cold. And they come anyway because they know Jesus is there. So when it's the custom there that if you come, you get fed. So we had about 40 people with us. They wanted to feed everybody. So they honor us. They feed us first. They want to make sure we get fed. And then we do it by shifts. Everybody feeds, eats, and then the next people come because they've only got 5 or 6 plates. So you can only feed so many people. But we did. We ate. Everybody ate. We had service. Everything went great. And we left. 3 days later, I went back. And the brother said, well, you know, a miracle happened the other night. I said, what? He goes, well, you remember we ate the other night? I said, yeah. He said, well, we didn't have but just a little bit of food. He said, because I didn't know you was going to bring in all them people and we're out of food. He said, so all we had was one platter of enchiladas, stacked up, you know, probably 30 of them on there. And we had one pot of beans about this big. He said, and my daughter came to me because his wife's gone. And she said, what are we going to do? Because it's too late now. We can't go out and borrow some corn. I mean, they don't have canned food there, so they have to take them all day to prepare the meal. She said, what are we going to do? We didn't know these people were coming. He said, feed them until the food's gone, and then the rest of them will just have to eat when they get to the house, I guess. He said, I know it's a dishonor, but we're going to feed people until the food's gone. And so they fed us first, and the pastors that were with me, they fed the next group of people. They fed the next group of people until close to 100 people ate. Yeah. And then the brother told me, that's not all. He said, that's great. He said, but you forgot one people. That's my family. He said, because his son and their, his wife lives with him, a bunch of grandkids. His daughter lives with him. He's living there. And they hadn't eaten yet because they always wait till last to eat to make sure everyone else gets food. He said, but guess what? There was enough food for all of us to eat and be filled also. And so that's a blessing. He didn't tell me he was out of money. He didn't tell me he was out of food or I would have tried to work something out. He said, let's just trust Jesus. And so, still the same question, what's your excuse? These people, he's one of our main pastors. He goes out just about every day. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He prays till daylight. He's about 75 years old. Oh. He hikes further and faster than I do. I come to his village one day, and he says, you need to pray for my knees. They're hurting. I said, oh, yeah, what's wrong? I thought it might be because he's old or something. He said, well, he said, yesterday I left the house at 3 o'clock in the morning. I hiked for 4 hours to this village and prayed for this sick lady. Hiked for 3 hours to this village and had service. And I hiked over here. Ended up, he had hiked 12, 13 hours the day before through the mountains. And he's 75 years old. And he just goes around preaching the gospel to all these people. And yeah, he told me his knees were hurting. So we prayed and God healed him. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
So, what do you think of that? What I think of it is real simple. This is what I have taught my son is right, and that's what we're going to do. That's what he does. What are you teaching yours? Okay. I'm not going to argue about it. Okay. Freedom. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. Freedom is coming. Help us, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to go into this Amplified book a minute. Is that all right with you? Certainly hope it is. We'll have another argument. I would like for you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. That man that he's talking about there that he works with, when Jody was about 7 or 8 years old, it's when that old man got saved. When I found him, he was laying on a mat outside of his house and had been there for 3.5 years, incurable disease. And I challenged the black magic warlock, who I do tonight, I challenged the black magic warlock tonight, the prince of the power of the air over this building, over this area, in the name of Jesus Christ. I like it because the devil's afraid of me and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I like that. A lot. So I bind him and I curse him, I challenge him, I refute him, I rebuke him, I stand against him, I sneer, mock, ridicule, and ride and deride. He's a devil. Okay. Laid hands on that old man, he gets healed. So the process of time, of course, my son grows up, and he forms into one of the most powerful old men of God you'll ever want to meet. He is an awesome man. I don't know how many times a year, but constantly, this old man, he's out in his field working. The glory of God comes down in the form of a light. He can't see how to work anymore. And he sits there in the presence of God Almighty and worships the King. And when the light goes away, it was daylight when it started. It's now dark and it's time to go home. Yeah. I think that's a good guy for my son to hang out with, don't you? Yeah, I guess so. My wife said, tell y'all hello. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. in this freedom. Freedom. Truth is freedom. You know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. So I have to tell you, here I am again tonight, rebuking and refuting all the tentacles of hell that's trying to tear you up. Trying to take you out. Take your family out. Take your kids out. Trying to destroy your confidence and trust and faith in God. I rebuke it. And I stand in the freedom and liberty of God that I've been given. And I defy the armies of hell. Shouldn't I be more cautious about saying that? Let me put it like this. Shut up. Don't be part of the enemy. Be part of the answer, not the problem. Come on. Listen to me. Freedom is for all of us. We have been completely liberated, but the devil don't want us to find that out. Because if we find out that we are seriously and authentically free, we are going to wreak havoc on his kingdom. We're going to tear him up. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yahoo. So stand fast then. Do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to the yoke of slavery which you have now put off. Okay? You want a list? There you are. Don't do that. Things that held you captive once, don't go back and do them again. Stop it. Things that bother you, don't go around it. Keep yourself free. Keep yourself strong. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. You have no idea the draw I had this morning on me to go fix that problem. Because I can fix it in a few minutes. Whereas it's for other people, it's a major obstacle. I don't see the obstacle you see. I don't see it. I see an opportunity for faith. I see a great opportunity for victory. I do feel emotional bombardment. I do feel all of these things, that fears and doubts and mistrust that come after us. I feel them, but they're wrong, so we can't entertain that. We must entertain the victory. We must entertain the freedom. We must. What do you tell somebody when their baby dies? It's my son. Here's what you tell them. Get a grip. God's with us. Let's keep walking. Follow me. Let's go. That's what you tell them. Isn't that what I said? We cannot be ensnared. We cannot be torn up. We have got to help each other because we're going to all have need. We got to be there for each other. We got to be that strength. We got to be that backbone because all of us need it occasionally. Well, it's called body ministry. Freedom. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. I wish I could sing for y'all, but I couldn't. Psalms. Chapter 33. I'm going to stay in the Amplified if that's all right. We'll go over to the King James in just a minute. I already got it turned to the chapter. Psalms chapter 33. Excuse me. Psalms 33. See, there was a man, one of our leaders, like what my son worked. How many of you work? You work with three of them, don't you? Three of those leaders? What about Santi Comatlan? Makes it three, don't it? Jay, you're working with a couple too, aren't you? Two, yeah. We have these guys that's been around that I personally have trained myself, and these guys work with them, along beside them, day in and day out. They're good guys. All of them raise the dead and have fun, and you see, hear the miracles. It's wonderful. This Holy Ghost. So it's pretty much a lot of fun. There's this one guy named, I told you all about him last night, I think. Did I tell you all about Santo de los Angeles? Okay, good. I'm going to tell you another about him. He was walking along one evening, coming, it was real late in the afternoon, and he's walking down a trail, a little trail in the woods. He's walking to church. He does 2 or 3 services a day, this guy, older man. So, the Santo, 63 or 4, right? Isn't that right? Maybe 5, 65. He does 2 or 3 services a day anyway. He's a good guy. I like him a lot. So he's walking along down this trail. Freedom. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. A man steps out of the woods. Joined him. He's walking along. So immediately, the thing to do is ask him, so, you're going to get born again or would you rather go to hell? That's what you ask somebody. Immediately. You know, I was asked a time or two in my life, shouldn't I be a little more sensitive? Politically correct term, sensitive. Yeah, I should. I'm real sensitive. You're burning in hell, you knothead, if you don't get saved. I'm real sensitive. I don't want you burning, man. I do not want you burning eternally. So you jughead, get saved. Hallelujah. That's sensitivity to the maximum. Well, boy, I disagree with you. I know, that's why you don't get anybody saved and healed and delivered and raised from the dead. Because we disagree. And I'm in agreement with that we disagree. All right. Since I'm such a sensitive fella. So he starts talking to him about getting born again and not and missing hell and the great advantages of heaven and being real sensitive to the man's needs. The man says, do you know who I am? He says, no, I don't know who you are. I just see you as a man going to hell and you need to repent. He said, I'm very famous. He said, well, that doesn't matter. You still need Jesus. He said, I am a killer. I kill people for a living. I have with my hands killed 9 men. Oh, see? Now, let me ask you something. Was he not sensitive? Huh? Now, he was real sensitive. He should have been a lot more aggressive, in my opinion. And the guy says to him, have you ever heard this term in the Bible, will you turn aside with me? You ever heard that term where people run into men of God and Abraham did it? Almost all of them, would you turn aside and let me prepare a meal for you? This happened to Brother Hermano Santo de los Angeles. And so he did. He turned aside and went to this house to find out that the whole bunch of them are hired killers in that house. So Brother Santos, he's not afraid. He has Jesus. And he gets this man born again. He keeps talking to him. Right through the meal. You need to get born again. You need to get born again. So he got born again. He got so born again that he comes in, he goes out in the jungle and gets his weapons. AK-47, 9mm, Uzi, you know, gets weapons that they use to slaughter people. Goes and gets his guns, brings them to Brother Santo, said, here, you can have these. I don't know what to do with them. I don't need them anymore. I'm born again now. Yeah. Okay. But then as these killers do, these thieves and liars like some of y'all, they get together. And they're having this bachelor party like always, but this new convert, the head killer, that got born again, is there. And this guy says, I heard that you joined up with them sissy Christians. So he was, in other words, his mentality was, this guy, I can run over him and dominate him now. But like I said, I'm real sensitive, and I teach people to be sensitive. Well, let's say it like this. I haven't had much time with him since he just got saved a few weeks ago. And I've been gone. So in one motion, he reaches and gets a caguama. It's a liter bottle of beer. Breaks it on the way and slashed the man's throat. This is the man who just got saved. Done turned his guns in. Now we got a man on the ground with a cut throat. He smashes him a few times. And then he says to him, I'm not going to kill you because I'm sensitive to you. That's not true. That's not true. He said, I'm not going to kill you because I got born again. And he's got that bottle stuck up in that guy's, just gushing blood. He's got that bottle stuck right up on that man's chin saying, the only reason you'll see daylight in the morning is because of the blood of Jesus. And he left that thing on the ground and got up, went and washed his hands. See, the man was saved. So your mentality doesn't get the concept yet. When a killer, you can ask this man right here, when a person becomes a habitual thief or killer or any of these demons that get on people, they don't feel anything when they do these things. Okay? For him to feel the need to not kill the man is an awesome miracle of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. So I kind of like that story. It's pretty fun. That man is super sensitive, just like me. Must be the Spirit of the Lord. Boy, that's some pretty serious conversions, huh? Psalms 33. Boy, now I'm losing everybody. That's okay. As long as I don't lose that killer, I'm happy. Verse 13, the Lord looks down from heaven. He beholds all of the sons of men. I'm telling you, regardless of your situation and how hard it may be, God's looking and watching. I'm telling you, He's got His eyeballs on you. He's got the arsenal of heaven waiting to help you. God's for you. Who can be against you? Okay. From His dwelling place, He looks intently upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Boy, I like this. He who fashions the hearts of them all, who considers all of their doings. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. I'm telling you, all the slander, all the report of the devil, of the evil one, God's hearing it just like you are. I'm telling you, God has the hearts of men up to the King in His hand. I'm telling you, we have help. I'm telling you, when He says we are completely free, we are completely free. The intimidations of the demon, we do not have to listen to. I've had more in my house than you have. I rebuke them all. I rebuke them. I don't listen to that. People come in there and tell me this stuff, up that stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then I listen to it for a few minutes. And then I say, okay, that's enough. I don't want to hear it no more. Shut up. Don't talk to me anymore. I rebuke the devil. Don't I do that, fellas. I just ain't going to listen to it. It's a devil. I ain't taking the report of the devil. I'm taking the report of the Lord. You know that song, Whose Report Will You Believe? You know that song? Well, they do. You just get up there and strum and they'll sing. Won't you look at verse 16? No king is saved by the great size or power of his army. Church, you do not have the right to think because you are born and bred in the United States of America that you are exempted from what's coming. I'm telling you, it's the Holy God that's going to spare us if we get spared. It's going to be the power of heaven that saves us and sets us free if it happens. It won't be because you or your family or your lineage or who you are. It'll be who He is. No king is saved by the great size or power of his army. A mighty man is not delivered by his much strength. The horse is devoid of value for victory. Neither does he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, Shete. So be it, Holy Ghost. The eye of the Lord is upon those who fear Him, who revere and worship Him with awe. And I want you to know, there are times in our lives when that is a difficult thing to do. I'm telling you, I was watching the news a while ago coming out. I couldn't believe it. Y'all's rape rate has doubled in this city in the last year. I rebuke the devil. How do you like that? I curse the devil by the blood of Jesus. Prayer and fasting will reduce that. But sitting idly by and thanking God you're a born-again Christian won't do a thing for your city and your state. But prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord, it'll stay the hand of the devil. It will stop it. It's God that's watching. Well, you know, if God's going to do it, He's going to do it. Liar. God's going to do it when we act in faith and prayer and we act in unity together and stability in the Holy Ghost and we aggressively attack the enemy, then we'll see the hand of God. Any of the characteristics in the Bible, any one of them, read it. They sought the Lord, they got victory. They stayed with Babylon, they got defeat. All of them. All right. Now, we've got to do two things. We've got to try to get through this thing right here. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And I've got some news for you. There is victory for us in the name of Jesus. I've got some news for you. There's a great God in heaven. I've got some news for you. He lives and abides in your heart. And He's brought you truth. He's brought you persistence. He's brought you consistency. He has brought you permanence in the powers of God. You can't sit idly by and watch the world go to hell in a handbasket. We got to react and we got to be aggressive. And we got to get people born again. And we got to help people that are in need. Whatever it takes. In Jesus' name. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Y'all remember a guy by the name of Greg Ryder that came with me my first time up here? I think it was my first time up here. You remember Greg? Good boy, fireball, Jesus, hallelujah, shete. Man, he spits fire. I like working with these guys. They're good guys. People want to go to my school. They want to hear all of my tapes. I don't have any tapes. I don't have a school. I got a mountain. I got a mountain. It'll talk to you too, boy. Well, there's this devil. Y'all probably heard me talk about it a time or so back. Called dengue fever. Dingy, dangy, dangu. One of them names y'all might recognize. It's a devil. And whenever it comes on you, it kills you. Especially if you let it get past. I believe you can take some kind of antibiotics or some sort of thing ahead of time. But once it grabs hold of your body, it takes over. You lose. Well, my friend, Brother Greg Ryder, goes out to the villages, village after village, just like I do. Bang, 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 bang. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just like these guys do. Boom, 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 boom. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He comes in one night. He's fatigued. That ain't nothing new for us. We're always fatigued. But he wakes up in the morning. He's still fatigued. He's got sweat on him. He's feeling drained. After a few days of fighting it anyway. Holy Ghost. 2 days. 3 days. 4 days. 5 days. Brother Greg collapses. Brother Greg has come in contact with a demon called the dengue fever. He's gonna die. He couldn't even, he got so delirious, he couldn't even get out of the bed. So here goes the battle. But the only problem with the battle is, his wife gets it. At the same time, he's got it. He don't know it because he's in Never Never Land. He's gone. He took a trip. All expenses paid to hell. Bleeding. That's the last stage of the dengue fever. But the problem is Greg has five children. Greg's down. His wife is down. He's got a daughter that's 13 and she's running the house taking care of all the kids, plus taking care of mom and daddy. Then you say, I'm glad I didn't go to the mission field. So am I, sissy. You know, God couldn't. Let's forget that. Don't get me mad, all right? Look, we're doing fine so far. You got this 13-year-old girl. She's taking care of mom and daddy. Mom and daddy both are in Never Never Land. You got a 13-year-old girl, Courtney, you know her. Good girl, loves Jesus, loves her family. But what 13-year-old can take care of a mama and a daddy both that's dying, plus take care of the other four children, cooking meals and cleaning and taking care of all the things that's necessary to be taken care of in a house? Well, pretty admirable, I think. That's why I say, you know, most of the people, young people up here in the United States, they wouldn't know how to do that. If they don't have to do with Nintendo and Mario, they can't deal with it. Greg's finally coming out the other side. God healed him. So he's coming out the other side. He's still too weak to get out of bed. But he come back. He came back off the trip. To find his wife laying there and been in that thing, in that bed with him for several days, he didn't even know he had been there all that time. He can't get up. He cannot get out of bed. He's too physically weak. Brother, you know, y'all saw him. Ball of energy. During the night, he hears this thud. In delirium, whatever you call it, is that right? Delirium? His wife had climbed out of bed and went somewhere. Well, he heard this thump. He goes crawling in there on his hands and knees to find his wife on the floor with the side of her head now ripped open where she hit the lavatory on the way down. What a devil. Blood everywhere. Kids crying. He's on his hands and knees. He can't deal with it. This is sad, sad, sad thing. So the little 13-year-old girl goes in yonder and gets some tape, cuts out some butterflies, brings them in there and pieces her mama her head back together, brings her and puts her in the bed, cleans up the mess, and in the morning, she comes to, and Greg comes to, and they're both healed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I got some news for you. Dengue fever? That's not King and Lord. Jesus is. So let me just read something to you out of the Bible here. Boy, these are some pretty good testimonies. After these things, y'all in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 1. After these things, the establishment thereof, Sennacherib. Is Sennacherib all right with y'all? I know it's not how you pronounce it, but it's so easy to say Sennacherib. It's easy. Sennacherib. I mean, like as in snake, demon, devil. You know, Sennacherib, he's a devil. Well, anyway. So I'm here to tell you that everybody sitting in this room occasionally comes up against Sennacherib. I'm here to tell you that if you ain't ever met him, you will. Life is equal to everybody. The demon will come. We've got to be ready to fight when he gets there. Sennacherib comes. Look at what this says. He attacked all of Judah and fenced cities and thought to win them to himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib, the devil, was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, look, I want you to look. Here's something you need to put a big old star by in your Bible. You need to mark this and say, "Do this, dummy." That's what you need to put in your Bible. It said right there. It said, "He took counsel with his princes and mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were about the city, and they did help him." First thing, when Sennacherib's up against you, don't wait till it's too late to get the counselors and the princes of God on your side. Go get people. See, the problem with what I'm saying is that here in the United States of America, we are taught to be independent. We are taught to be alone. We are taught to be successful. We are taught we don't need anybody else. We'll be all right. That's not true. We need each other. We need the counselors of God. We need the princes of God. And Sennacherib is coming, so it'd be good to make friends with a few counselors of God and a few princes of heaven. Because old Sennacherib is coming. There's something else about that verse. Not only was he a smart man, being the king, he could have done anything he wanted to. But he thought to what? Lower himself, humble himself, go to other people and ask advice. That is the strongest point you'll ever take up. When you see your need in other people, that makes you strong. There's something else in the bottom part of that verse there. Do you see that what they did? They went out and stopped the fountains of water. Some of you in here have fountains that are flowing directly to the enemy's camp. You are feeding the enemy. It's not on purpose. I don't see you doing it on purpose. I don't attack you and aggressively come against you like I'm better than you or anything else. I'm telling you, there's some of us that have serious need of God. But God, you are fattening up the enemy that's coming to kill you. Shut their water off. That's smart. That's counsel. That's godly. Look in your life. Seek the Lord. You have a Sennacherib against you? Go to God. Find out how you're feeding that thing. Cut his water off. Most of us feel like, well, if I act like I need help, I'm going to go out here and one of these ministers are going to ridicule me or put it out through. And I don't want that. I'm a better Christian than that. That's not what... You're wrong. That right there tells me you're not. That's pride. And it reeks. We need help. All of us do. And so what we need to do is learn how to recognize Sennacherib in the first place. And then before, if we can anticipate his arrival like Hezekiah is doing here, and cut off all the water. What's the statement? And I believe this is so true. If we could get this in our heart, we could win probably double the victories we win already. We could have so many healings and blessings. Look at the next verse. They were gathered together. There was gathered together much people. Listen to me, boy. When my daughter got down and it was the last straw and she was dying, I called everybody. I get my hands. Help! Help! Pray! Pray! Help! Fast! Help! My daughter's dying. Ho! Ho! And I got counseling. I had people talking to me. There was people came down and they strengthened my hands. They helped me make sure the waters were cut off to the devil. That we weren't flowing and strengthening the hands of the devil out of our own strength. This is an overlooked problem that we're going to address. And it says, there was much people gathered together who stopped all the fountains and the brooks in the midst of the land. Look what they're saying. And I agree with this in everybody's life in this room. Why should the kings of Assyria, why should the demon hordes come and find water? Water is our strength source. Water is the Holy Ghost in our soul. You can be almost dead from dehydration. Take a little bit of water and it will revive you almost instantly. It doesn't take very long. There's no... I think it's a super valid question, and I don't think we addressed it enough. I think we need to look into our own lives. I'm not going to look into your life. I don't want you coming to my house and telling me that my thing my mama painted is the devil. So I'm not going to come tell you what your mama painted was the devil. So leave me alone, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real leaks, real breakdown in the Holy Ghost. That instead of coming into us or going out and being fed to the demons, it's sent to kill us. All right? The Bible says, look at verse 5. Also, this is Hezekiah now, the man of the Lord. He strengthened himself. That's the next thing. You got to make sure you're not feeding the devil. The next thing you do is you strengthen yourself. Man, you pray, you fast, you read the Word of the Lord, you keep receiving counsel. The Bible says right here, he strengthened himself, he built up all the wall that was broken down. There's some of you in here that you might have your water sources cut off, but your wall is weak. You need to make sure you raise back up that shield of faith and put it in place against the enemies of our God. Your wall is broken down in a few places. And if you don't stop it, they're going to run right through the holes and you're going to all be defeated and destroyed. And that is not the will of God for you. Well, this is serious preaching material, isn't it, Brother Steve? It says right here, built up the wall that was broken and raised it up, the towers and another wall outside that. He went, look at here. He had the wall and it had been broken down a little bit, but they had ignored it and there was no enemy. We were doing good. But then all of a sudden there's this hellacious horde out there. So he cuts off their water. He strengthens the inner wall, the inner man. Then he set up another barrier. He built a new wall that was never there before. He went beyond what was normal and natural and what everybody else was doing, and he went on in. He went on and built another wall. He built up towers so they could see that enemy. He set a watchman in it. And he did a lot of good things. Watch what he did. He repaired Milo in the city of David. Look at this. And made darts and shields in abundance. I'm telling you, it's right. People say to me all the time, man, you're an offensive guy. Why do you preach defense? Because the reason I'm so strong offensively is I have a great defense. I was a middle linebacker. I like defense, but I like to see that ball cross that goal line more. I know defense, but I know to win. It takes points, it takes darts, it takes shields, it takes things that we can do and that we can do. A horse is a vain thing. Your great financial resources, your great intellect, Your strength as a human, your aggressiveness, that's not enough. God will help us. We don't lean on our strength, but what we can do is build things that help Him. You can help God by building your own self up and strengthening walls and building greater walls and building more darts and more shields, so that you are secure in what God has told you to do. Boy, this is a good preaching. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Look at this in verse 6. He set captains of war. I'm telling you, I'm a fighter. And when I see us heading off, sometimes you get these traps get set up for you. And I appreciate that. I told you all that. But I like traps a lot. Helps me for the next one. It does. I like traps a lot. But when I can see it coming, the devil's not the fool if I ignore it.
I am. If I can see it, and I don't take advantage of the time, if I don't redeem the time, if I just ignore that it's happening, God's going to break through for me. Hallelujah, brother. I feel sorry for you. I'm clearing house. I'm out of here. I'm leaving you because you've been to get hammered. And I don't want to be part of the part that gets hammered with you. If you're going to be so slothful and so indignant against the ways of God, I'm going to let you be that way, but you're going to be that way without me. But now, if you want to take counsel and get the princes of God together and seek the Lord and cut off the water and build up the walls and strengthen the inner walls and the inner courts of praise, and if you want to build up these shields and darts and weaponry against the devil, I'll stand with you and bleed with you. But that's the only way. I won't take up a haphazard way. I won't walk with that. But I will walk with truth and freedom in the dignity of faith. Because I'm telling you, most of the time we're outnumbered and outmanned and outgunned. But God, somehow or another, He comes on through. Isn't that something? I like it. Look what He did. He set captains of war over the people, gathered them together to the city, the street of the gate of the city. And look what He did to them. See, in the middle of battle is not the time to argue and have opposition. When the demon came to kill my daughter and take her away, she was 16. And when the demon came to get her, my wife buckled a little bit in her faith and says to me, "I want us to do this." And I looked her right in the face. That is as anti-me as anything she could have ever said. And I looked at her, I said, "I don't know about that." She said, I want to do it." And I looked at her, I studied her for a few seconds. I said, "Okay." It's amazing how in the heat of battle, sometimes a slight compromise can bring a dynamic victory. I've learned that. And I will learn it more as life progresses. But I know that if we can speak comfortably to each other, if we're sure that the water is cut off that will feed the demon, if we are sure that our walls and defenses are built up and they're strong, and if we are sure that we've built and gone the extra bit and more diligence, more faithfulness, beyond what other people says is all right, go on! Keep going! Build the strength up more! Then when it's time to say, "Okay, the devil's coming, but we're going to resist him. We are clean before God. We are clean before man. Now let's just see what God can do." That is not the place to fight each other. And that's one of the greatest mistakes that we as Christians do. Okay, it says right here. Look what he said to them. I just tell you, these guys with this attitude of faith, there's something else, boy. It says right here. Look what he said. Now there's been nation after nation fall. You can read the story and study it yourself. Several nations have fallen already. Run over them like a steamroller. And look what this king says. They don't have enough people. They don't have any horses. They don't have an army. They are definitely nothing but a small taco for this big demon machine out there. But he did everything right. He called for the counselors of God and the princes of God. He cut off all the waters that would feed this horde. He did right. He built up the weaknesses. He made them their strengths. He searched out with his counselors what the problems were for himself in his defense, and he fixed it. Well, that's pretty awesome to me. That's it. This year is a spiritual, this is a super warfare thing to me, how to win. When it's a definite lose, a loss. There's not even a percentage to help him here. But look what he tells his people. Be strong and courageous. How can you not be afraid? My goodness. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than there is with him. Wow. Sounds similar to a verse I heard one time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's New Testament, this is Old Testament. The warfare is the same. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Look what the people did. The people rested, received, and took peace in themselves from the words of their king. They did everything they were supposed to do. It did not change the circumstances. Did you hear that? I want you to hear that, because most Christians now think that because they do a certain amount of stuff, the circumstances are supposed to just fall off. That didn't happen here, and it don't happen with us. What happens is God's watching. He fashions the hearts of men. He gives us the energy to seek Him. He gives us the methods and the ways to defeat the enemy. And then He comes and kicks them for you. It's amazing. He is just some kind of a God. I like Him a little bit. Jeez, one of these days I'm going to like Him a lot. We'll get something done. People rested themselves in the word of Hezekiah. But look, after He had done all of the stuff He was supposed to do, what did He do? Let's go back. He heard about the demon coming. And He didn't run over yonder some hole, stick His head in the sand, and just, oh, the devil's coming, God help me, God help me. That's not what He did. He went and gathered up His counselors and princes of war. He said, what can we do? Nobody else is God's. Nobody else, all the great armies between us and them, haven't been able to do a thing. Our army is nothing. We are weak. What can we do? They said, hey, well, I'll tell you what. We may not win, but why should we feed them? So they cut the water off. They said, look here, we're going to back you all the way. Regardless of what happens, we are going to stand together. Unity. Victory and unity. He did what His counselor said. Man, He stopped up all that. He built up these walls, built another wall. Oh, He did extra things. Oh, man, He's working hard. He's doing right. He's building up the defense. He built all these shields and all these darts for everybody. Oh, man, He's ready. And then He took counsel from the Lord and He rested the people in the words of the Lord. Boy, this is awesome to me. All right, He's done everything He's supposed to do. So what happens next? The devil comes to taunt them. Sennacherib sent some smaller demons to mess with them, to intimidate them, to put fear in them. Sennacherib always sends a smaller devil first to intimidate you, to bring fear in you. And it says right here, and after this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and his servants of Judah, but he himself didn't come. And all of his power stayed back in his fighting somewhere else. And then it says, where do you, verse 10, I think it is, yeah. What do you trust in? Uh-oh, now we're to what I've been talking about. Confidence. Now we're to truth. Now we are to the constant that makes us win. Now we're at the point where the whole universe turns. The truth of God Almighty. They are questioning God's abilities. Every time they come at you, that's what they're doing. And if you're feeding them, you haven't cut the water off. Your help, you're losing your strength to them. They will grow bigger than you. Cut their water off. Build your defenses. At least scare them. Make them think you're doing something right anyway. So they come in and they fuss it up one side and down the other. Look at verse 13. Know you not that I and my Father have done unto all these other people in other lands? All right. Here's where they stop talking to the children of Israel and start talking to God. Watch this. Where are the gods of the nations of those lands? Were they in any way able to deliver their lands from my hand? This demon, this man, this king has exalted himself greater than the gods. This is a big mistake. I see some of y'all in here that way right now. Are you Sennacherib or are you Hezekiah? Verse 14. Who was there among all the gods of those nations that could destroy that my father's utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Look at this, verse 15. Don't let this Hezekiah deceive you. Now he left off fussing and cussing at God, and he tied into the man of God, the leader. Now he's sowing discord among the brethren. Sennacherib's good at that. Don't let him deceive you nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand or out of the hand of my fathers. Watch this. Here we go. Now he stepped back up and slapped at God again. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hands? I'm telling you today, the devil spoke that into some of y'all's hearts. Today, the devil spoke that into my heart when this problem occurred. I'm going, God, I need to get out of here. I need to get on a jet right now and book. And the devil's saying, you're too late, dummy. You should have thought this out a little bit further. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take all your men out. This is a mistake. I've always done this in the past, and I will keep doing it in the future. Well, that's the wrong thing to speak to me, because I found it in here. I'm not a fellow that looks to let my water run to the enemy's camp. I'm continually walking up and down my perimeters looking for leaks. I don't sit in the house because God's built this great machine. And we have the powers of heaven working with us and doing right and helping us and blessing us. I don't sit in the house and say, wow, look what we've done. Praise the Lord. No, sir. I got my khakis on. I got my uniform out, buddy. And I'm walking up down the perimeter watching, looking. How can I strengthen this defense? I ain't going to feed the devil. I won't do it. I refuse to do it. And all of a sudden you hear... Don't you be deceived. There ain't no God that can win over us. You'll listen to me. That's your clue to massive victory right there. When the demon comes at you and has got you so intimidated and so fearful, but you have done right. You've cut his water off. You've built up the walls. You've got darts and shields in abundance. And you're out there walking a perimeter just waiting on him. Because you can't wait for the battle. Oh, boy. Just come on. And when he comes up there and says, hey, fool, what you doing? Just look at him. And you don't say nothing, but you say, I ain't the fool. Just think it. That's enough. Look what he did in verse 16. His servants spake yet more. This is Sennacherib, devil's servants. against the Lord God and against His servant Hezekiah. And he wrote letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel. I mean, letters come. Accusations come. I mean, even policemen come. I mean, things come against you all the time. And the devil is going to set up all these things against you in this network of stuff that's garbage. It may not be true. What you got to do is stand there and say, Shandai. All you do is speak in tongues. You do not entertain these things. You know, people ask me all the time, how do y'all get victory? I'm teaching you what we do. This is how we win. We see them all as snickerelves. They're devils. Yoo-hoo. Look what they did. Oh, no, in verse 18. Then they went into the Jews' speech, started, oh, now we're letting everybody hear about it. The word's out. It's just spreading like wildfire and discord. And oh, no, intimidation and weakness is flying through everybody. In verse 19, they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of men's hands. Now then, look at verse 20. What did Hezekiah do? I want you to look in that verse and I want you to consider what's happening here. He's done everything right already. He's done it right. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's done right. So after all this intimidation and fear has gripped the whole place, what did he and Isaiah do? Are you hearing who these men are? This is the King of Israel. This is the man who God has wrought great victories for His people. Do you know who Isaiah is? One of the greatest prophets ever. And even though he was a great man of God, and even though Hezekiah was, did they have to pray? So why aren't you praying? There's no way you're going to make me think you're the same caliber as Hezekiah. Hezekiah and Isaiah, I'm not either. So our duty of prayer is double. But we shirk our responsibility and don't do it. And we wonder why we get taken to the cleaners by the demons. As for this cause, and I want to know if there wasn't, is there not a cause here? There's a cause. There's a cause. What if you was a man that came to one of our services who hadn't heard anything for 27 years? And me, I'm a nut. I don't know the guys there and knew. I don't know that. I just walk in there and we just start talking about the Holy Ghost and the fire of heaven. Fire of heaven hits this guy, knocks him for a flip. He got up from there hearing after 27 years. There's a cause for prayer. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven. There's a cause around us. We need to cry out to heaven, church. Okay. Where is that found? It's in 1 Kings, right? Where it says how many people died that night? 2 Kings 19:35, that's where it is. Let me show you something. So look what God did. There wasn't one arrow of the Israelites fired. Not one dart was thrown. Not one shield was dented. He said in verse 34, God did, I will defend this city and save it. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Defend me. Save me, Jesus. I may not be. I know I'm not worthy. But I'll tell you this. I appreciate the grace. Thank you. Look at verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote, struck, killed the camp of the Syrians, 144,000 4,035,000. That makes 185,000 folks. Killed 185,000 people. Shoo. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, there was corpses everywhere. And Sennacherib took off running, went all the way back to Nineveh. He went in the house of his God saying, what did I do wrong? His two boys went in there and cut his head off. I like that, don't you? That's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. God delivered those people. I mean, everything was against them. The intimidation, the fear. They were outnumbered. They were outmanned. The modern technology. Everything was against them. But they didn't have any water to drink when they got around Hezekiah's group. They found the city built up and fortified. They found plenty of darts and shields in abundance. But there was not one of them used. The Holy Ghost came. Blew right by them and said, I'll take this up to you boys. See you later. I'll send the bill one of these days. Goodbye. All right, let's go into Isaiah, chapter 54. I'm going to read this with you and we're going to quit. I've done enough already. Isaiah 54. I'm telling you, Sennacherib can be defeated. Listen, I do care that your emotions are struck and hurting. I don't care if you teenagers, it ain't contemporary, it's peer pressure, this drug lord, demon, scumbag, twits. I hate them. They're sissy punks. They ain't cool, they fools. They devils. Sucker bills. Isaiah 54, verse 17. I don't like them. They're sissies. They think because they got money, they can take our young people and kill them all. Chickens, try me out. I'm telling you, I've been caught by them three times, old bunch of sissies. And they beat you up and everything else while they got guns in their hand, but you invite them to put that gun down, they chickens, they won't do it. Anybody can rape a woman and kill a baby. But I ain't no baby. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. There is no weapon formed that can prosper against us. Do you hear me? There ain't a weapon. There ain't a weapon! I don't care what Sennacherib says. I care what the Word, the truth, freedom says. And I'm not somebody that hasn't been tried. I have been burned many times. Somehow or another, I can keep standing. Been turned every way but loose. But I'm still standing. It's not got to do with the power of a man. It's got to do with the power of the spoken and written word of the Holy Ghost. And it says, and I believe it, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. Every tongue that will rise against you in judgment shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, and security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtained from me. That is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. And I want to invite you right now to stand up and let's pray together. But I'm telling you this thing about Sennacherib and me. I got this problem with that old devil. I don't like it. Me and him don't get along at all. You know why? Because he's the devil. And it ain't God to mess with God's people. Some of y'all, Snickerel, have been drinking at your fountain. We're going to cut him off tonight. We're cutting Snickerel off. We're going to drink the water of the cisterns of God. Tonight, we are. We're going to drink. Tonight, we're going to receive strength from the Holy Ghost. Tonight, we're going to build up some walls that have been broken down. Tonight's our night. Tonight, we're going to do that. We're going to build us some more shields and darts. Because the devil has come, and he's come to intimidate and to destroy and to take us out. But Jesus came that we can have life and peace and have that in more abundance. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. I know one thing. I know that my aggressive nature is kind of hurting to some of y'all. And I really don't mean to be abrasive. I just mean to be abrasive to the devil, not you. Because I have nothing to do with him. He hates me and I'm glad and I hate him and he's glad. Thanks be to the Lamb forevermore. Jesus is King and Lord. So be it. God grant it. God, loose your word, God. Your freedom. Freedom. Freedom will rule here tonight in Jesus' name. We will trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.